Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Everybody, it is week 15 Swolecast. Another week and another week of no Soccer Dave. Initially I thought this was a good thing, no Soccer Dave on the show. We can actually talk some football. And now I'm just starting to think he's starting to big time us. I think he's pulling rank here. What do you guys think?
Do you guys think he's maybe taking the comments a little hard? Just, you know, the fans come out and say something's just different about the show when he's not here, and maybe he just wants the show to be as good as it can be.
He just didn't want to be on the hook for any COVID takes. He just knew that if he was hosting the show, people would come to Daddy Soccer Dave, you know, to solve the NFL's woes, and he just didn't want any part of that. He just wanted to, you know, do his good heart. He wanted to put his head down and do his work for Roto Grinders today.
I think Soccer Dave knows that the show is really good without him, so he can do it and take credit for it, as he often does, without having to do any work. I just think that's Soccer Dave's MO.
He does have a couple of pretty aggressive burner accounts in terms of leaving comments on the videos as well, suggesting the show is not quite as good without Soccer Dave, and we know that's a lie. But yeah, week 15. Remember, this is a first look show. We're the only place doing it. Don't expect much to change this week, really. Right, Pete. Let's get into Overzet's overview. I mean, we should have everything down pretty clear right now.
Yeah, so this overview can be pretty simple. Half the league is on the COVID list or is about to be on the COVID list. The entire Rams offense is in the optimal lineup right now, and there's basically no point in doing this show.
Yeah.
So pretty much like every week, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, we're...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, we were talking pre-show a little bit about it. and how crazy it is. And Sammy was just dropping IDP nuggets. So it's, I mean, Sammy, you want to tell us what IDP players to pick up on the waivers that we don't have to worry about COVID wise?
Oh, you want a divine Diablo take? Is that what you're looking for? he's eligible at safety on Yahoo. He's been playing linebacker over Corey Littleton. A lot of snaps, a lot of tackles. Very rare for a defensive back eligible player.
Has there ever been an IDP DFS product?
Yes, Showdown.
Initial buddy, showdown real product. real grinders remember that the original Showdown included individual defensive players.
All of, like, the entire lot or like one spot?
All of them.
This is basically where I built my bankroll, and it's been going progressively down ever since. Wait,
did you crush in that format, Sammy?
Oh, yeah. It was so lit. Yeah. It was before IDP projections. I mean, it was all art. There was no science. It was just all art, and it was a print fest.
Wow, this must have been before my time. I have literally zero recollection of that.
I actually do forget. Was it only you played one IDP, or could you flex them?
I think it was one. If I remember correctly, Dan Bach would know. If we asked Dan Bach, he would know.
Oh yeah, I remember Kuechly days. Just roster Kuechly, easy game.
See, Sammy was all excited about that. I remember that being one of the reasons I did not like Showdown to start, was you had to do all this IDP research. And I think they
offered it for the first time in the 2017 Super Bowl. That sounds right.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Okay, so COVID aside, which is going to be impossible to predict, do we have any other injuries out there that we're monitoring?
There's the stuff with the Cardinals. Both DeAndre Hopkins and James Conner are banged up. Are there any other big ones, Davis?
I mean, I already moved DeAndre Hopkins out of our projections. I don't think he's going to play. There has not been an update on Miles Sanders' ankle over the bye week. Like, I searched RotoWorld. I searched The Athletic. There's been nothing on Miles Sanders' ankle, but it was a bad ankle injury that he suffered in week 13. They have a home matchup to the Washington football team. That one's pretty big. From a projections perspective, Pollard being in for the Dallas Cowboys is going to be pretty big. Not that any of us want to play fat, dusty Zeke, but people who do projections, namely myself, is going to have a very hard time giving Corey Clement a 50-50 timeshare with Ezekiel Elliott. So that definitely matters. We have the New York Jets situation, Michael Carter in that backfield there, Manny Sanders for the Buffalo Bills, and Elijah Mitchell for the 49ers. He missed last week with a concussion. That matters for a variety of their offensive players, and I think that's it in terms of big injuries.
I think Lamar, if nobody said
OBJ.
It.
Yeah, yeah. Odell's COVID. That was all. Those were like physical injuries, not COVID list.
All right. Yeah. Not Omicron.
Yeah. Yeah. Not Omicron related.
Yeah. We have to parse that out. The Omicron guys here, the regular injured guys.
Well, the Omicron guys can theoretically play. I mean, the NFL, right, they're come back. Roger Goodell is on a conference call with all the owners and the Players Association right now going, how can we get these guys to play? I mean, so the NFL is going to announce something that's very controversial one way or the other by tonight. So just be prepared for that.
You know, Goodell's on the phone with Dana White being like, how do we kind of strong arm our way through this?
No, dude, Joe, they're talking with Joe Rogan, figuring out how can they get these guys in the bench.
They're patching in Antonio Brown. Like, hey, AB,
where do you get that on this?
What do you know?
How can we get some fake negative COVID tests to send to the lab?
The only other injury, what I was just looking at, both DeAndre Swift and Hawkinson didn't practice again today.
Yeah, I need to move Swift out. I don't think Swift is going to play either.
Can we talk about two? I mean, we talk about the NFL, things getting flipped on its head, coming out of nowhere. I mean, when Adam Schefter, I don't know if it was on a show and then other people were relaying it, he's like, yeah, I'm starting Craig Reynolds in fantasy this week. And then he was fucking right. I mean, Craig Reynolds, ooh, this dude comes out of nowhere. Like Jamar Jefferson and Godwin.
Apparently, what happened was it wasn't reported, but apparently Jamar Jefferson was sick. Not with COVID, but apparently he had the flu or something, and that's why he didn't play. But no one reported it. Schefter was the only, and Schefter didn't tweet. He only said it on whatever the show is on ESPN. So missed that one.
Yeah.
So Schefter can't legitimately play anything for cash, right? Because we're looking at insider information there.
I mean,
Schefter could rake if he really,
if he really wanted to, for sure.
And I think obviously he plays season long, and I know he plays NBA DFS. I don't think he plays NFL DFS, probably knowing that it's a bit of a conflict of interest.
Yeah, it'd be.
Could you? I would if I was him. I would be registering for the. I'd be registering for the Thunderdome every week, being like, I'm gonna dunk on these nerds so
and
hard.
Tweeting out misinformation,
Davis. Yes. That's the least surprising thing I've ever heard. You tweeted about the golden pups after you minted a few of the NFTs. I mean, dude.
By the way, I've been meaning to touch on this. I mean, the fact that I am not approached to shill NFTs more often it's really brutal. Like, how is it possible that more projects are not approaching me to shill for them?
Because they've seen what happens when you do post and nothing happens to the floor.
Davis has no shame.
Correct.
I love it. Okay. I guess we can talk football now if we want to do that. Let's move to the quarterback position. It's kind of an interesting league.
It's actually the most interesting position, I think.
Yeah, give us the breakdown, Davis.
So we have Kyler back looking amazing. You know, just all of, like, he just is going nuts. We have Josh Allen with more appealing double stack options this week, probably removing Manny Sanders from the equation. That'll either mean Isaiah McKenzie picks up some extra snaps or Tommy Sweeney will pick up some extra snaps, but mostly that just means Beasley, Diggs, and Gabriel Davis are going to be in there. Jalen Hurts, maybe with no Miles Sanders against the Washington football team. And then probably the weirdest spot to dissect of the week is the Cowboys against the Giants with Dak, because they just have looked like shit the last 2 weeks. I mean, they just have looked awful on offense. But this is like playing the Giants is like the get right spot in the NFL. It might even be easier than playing against the Texans. So, that one seems good. And then there's just a host of guys with good matchups. Tua against the Jets, Jimmy G against Atlanta. Lamar, if he plays, is going to like set records for lowest Lamar ownership ever. He might be like 1% in some of these contests. And, Burrow against Denver, I think, is the other interesting one, because they've been so efficient passing the ball.
Yeah, I ran some early optimal lineups using the RG Gridiron IQ projections, and Dak seemed to be the guy that was getting pushed in early. And I understand that on DraftKings, it does look like he stands out from a pricing perspective. I think the biggest issue with Dallas, and always has been, is they need to get pushed to kind of keep throwing offensively, and I don't know if that's going to happen.
But like the reverse mind meld that I had this galaxy brain take last week is like, actually, if Pollard is out and your only other option is running Ezekiel Elliott, maybe that actually forces you to be a little bit more pass heavy, because you still need to get first downs. And it didn't end up happening last week because Washington football team was so pathetic for so much of that game. So maybe it doesn't happen again this week, but that was my galaxy brain.
No, I had that same thought too. Pete, let's hear some more quarterback takes here.
Yeah, I mean, Davis mentioned him quickly, but it does look like Tua is probably the best value quarterback there at 5,700. Should have Parker, Waddle, obviously been playing well, and they are just absolutely depleted in the backfield with so many of those guys on COVID and our Laird and Savior on IR. I got a troll text from Silva last night, you know, now that he's hot shit as the King GPP bro. And I reminded him how lucky he is that Laird is on IR, because it would have been Laird in cash week otherwise. So he gasped when he realized
he's out here. He's out here. He's out here joshing Duke Johnson to the people.
I feel like it's going to be Malcolm Brown. Is it? Do we think it's Duke Johnson?
I mean, he's back at practice, but has not been activated yet. So unclear what happened. I mean, that's just a mess. I have a fantasy football team right now that has Lindsey and Ahmed on its IR slots and Dokes and Duke Johnson on regular bench slots, just trying to parse out whatever ends up happening there. I've cornered the market on Gaskins backups. Pete, how great was it to not have to do FFPC waivers today?
Oh, it's been great. I literally deleted. I have a calendar invite, a recurring thing that says waiver sweep, and I deleted it today. All events going forward. It felt so good.
So good.
That's the upside of going over in a high stakes Davis.
Even if I didn't go over, there's no waiver. You can't make waiver moves when you're in the championship rounds anyway. which I did get one team through to the championship rounds. Still, they can't make waiver moves.
Should we talk best balls? How many best balls did we get through?
I just barely beat randomness. Like,
what's your remaining player allocation percentages?
I saw Bynforest was out.
I saw someone say, like, what's the tool you use to calculate this? And he goes, I did it.
He
by
said
hand.
My brain. Bynforest is really doing it. I mean, I did to make myself feel better. I saw Amico say something which I really want to be true, which is that the thesis behind the play was never that I was going to absolutely lap the field in terms of win rate, but just that I'd be getting good teams through. And that's what I'm telling myself right now. But really, the answer is I just drafted a fuck ton of Mecole Hardman and Ronald Jones, and those guys got no and points all year.
I saw the tweet earlier where Leonard Fournette has a sore ankle, and Davis is like, rejoice!
Buddy, if Ronald Jones gets 16 this week, my advance rate to the next round is going to be looking real nice.
I mean, how poetic would it be if Lenny got hurt and Rojo just ripped off this insane playoff run?
Rojo. The haters, of which there are many, would be sick.
I will say
it's
depressing to, like, I had a pretty good advance rate, but it's depressing to look at some of your teams that have advanced and you just know you have no chance at all. I posted a screenshot of a Titans onslaught that has Derrick Henry, AJ Brown, etc., that somehow advanced.
It's also depressing to look at the ones where you got the backfield right but drafted the wrong guy. You got a Travion Williams team through that would be like way more live with Samaj Perine. Also, I mean, the most depressing thing is just looking at all these teams with Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Mac Jones, Zach Wilson.
I even have a ton of Trevor Ryan Lawrence. Fitzpatrick. Like, a lot of those late round QBs just completely dusted.
Oh God, the Fitzpatrick, like, Logan Thomas stacks that we're just gonna print on.
It's every single team you look at just has like this blinding ward. I'll be like, oh, this team is so sick. Oh, it doesn't have DeAndre Swift and Elijah Moore is now out. Like, all the guys that you would hope to be like playoff hammers, just not there.
Yep. And then now we got the Swift news. I do have some good Swift teams, and then it looks like Swift's out again this week. So that hurts. But anyways, back to DFS this week, because that's what this show does, I guess.
This week, Demi, is so bad, we should just talk best ball the whole time.
Well, so here's the thing. The game that people are going to want to stack is going to be Seattle-LA, but I think the narrative that's the only game is going to give us like some absurd ownership, specifically on if Odell doesn't play, we're looking at like 19% on Van Jefferson and Metcalf and Lockett. I mean, Lockett is going to be like in what's Lockett going to be in the spy this week? Like 22% beat. He's going to get the Godwin ownership.
And this, it is like, are people done with Metcalf too? Because I mean, that might be the nice pivot. It's like kind of like the Godwin over Evans thing where everyone just kind of fed up with three straight games.
We just need Levitan to keep tweeting about how Metcalf hasn't scored.
Yeah,
and also Jalen Ramsey potentially coming back. People might get worried about him.
I think Ramsey's on COVID list.
Yeah,
he'll be back. He'll be back.
Yeah. He'll be back. All right.
It's Omicron. It's no big deal.
Higby was a false positive. Is Ramsey a false positive?
Yeah.
Does he get his game so check brutal. Back? What happens?
That's a good question.
Yeah. I guess I was false worried then. I apologize.
So Sammy, I still need QB takes from you, but I also want to ask you a question since we're talking about that Seattle-Los Angeles game. So if Daryl Henderson's back this week, what are you thinking?
What happens?
Like at running back?
So here's the thing. You got to get deep into the mind of the coach, right? And what's happened in the mind of the coach is that while Daryl Henderson has been out and had no 100-yard game, Sony Michel has been cranking out the tough physical yards. They've been using six linemen.
Yeah.
And their passing game has been super effective out of those formations. And I think that McVay, they've won the games that Henderson has been out. And I think McVay looks at it and says, this is the best version of our team. Sony Michel's our guy. I hope Daryl Henderson's back in so you can play Sony. And he's going to play. That's my take, is he's going to play.
Sammy is 100% right.
Really? I'll take the other side of this take, because didn't we have a earlier spot this year where Henderson missed, Sony Michel came in, and then we came right back the next week to Henderson.
Sony wasn't very good. It was like 24 carries for like 80 yards. He was like very average in that game.
I would say
Tampa Bay, I think.
And I think they lost, right?
I'd say zoom out on the Sony Michel chart. He's still pretty average, Davis.
buddy, you got to zoom out. You got to understand. This was a divisional game on, what was it, Monday night against Arizona, and they won on the road. Like, that's a game that's going to stick in McVay.
I did see some of the guys I follow who are, like, real football guys. Like, Ben Solak, I think, was one of them that was, like, those kind of tough interior runs are why Sonny Michel is going to have a larger role.
Daryl Henderson wouldn't have gotten those 2 yards on that fourth and one.
Yeah, so that's the type of stuff. And look, we can think it's stupid all we want, and I think it's very stupid. But at best, I think Daryl Henderson is coming back to being the passing down back, but I think he is going to lose some goal line work. I mean, I don't know. I'll probably play Daryl Henderson this week as leverage off of all that passing and just hope that I'm right. Cause I bet even if Henderson comes back, I bet Sony gets played a little bit to the point where they're both like 5%.
Well, that's what I was just going to say, because all the early projections have Henderson out and are using Sony Michel. So people are just going to naturally get anchored to that. So from a GPP perspective, Henderson will end up being the better play.
I do think it's interesting too, because we haven't, like, McVay hasn't shown he wants to make it a split or a backfield by committee at all. Yeah. Like, if he's going to go with one guy that's going to get the 20 touches and not, you know, split it 10-10 down the middle. So I think it's an interesting GPP spot. But anyway, Sammy, QB takes.
I mean, not too many that these guys don't have. Just, you know, we're talking about the cheap options that you can get with Josh Allen, particularly Gabriel Davis. I really like that DeAndre Hopkins is out, because I think that leaves us with a lot of great Kyler stacking options.
It didn't really, though. When Hopkins was out, it did. Because Kyler wasn't in.
It was Colt McCoy. Buddy.
I mean, look, all due respect to Kyler, who everyone knows I love. They called the plays the same way because they weren't calling designed runs for McCoy.
Right.
Or for Kyler anyway.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say all due respect to Sammy.
I would never say all due respect.
You know, a burn is coming back then, but I'm big on this game. Also, you have to understand, this is week 15 of the season. Pacific Northwest is cold as balls. The Bay Area is cold as balls, but you know where Detroit and Arizona are playing? In the dome. And as we know,
did we invite Cardi on the show?
Yeah. As we know, in the dome is where the stuff's at. Amon St. Brown is a real natural bring back, a guy that they use underneath.
I need to make a note. There's no Lions bring backs this year with how bad some of these teams have been. The Jaguars, the Texans, the Lions, the Giants. These are teams that you don't put a bring back on.
I
disagree with that, particularly if you note that Zaven Collins has been playing really poorly.
Mute him.
Isaiah Simmons not really getting the job done in the middle of that defense. It leaves the interior wide open for Amon-Ra.
Do you know how bad this week is?
I like that take, Sammy.
Thank you.
The Cardinals-Detroit game has the highest over-under on the main slate, and it's all carried by Arizona Cardinals 30 implied team total. That's the best game on the slate. I mean, are you kidding me?
Here's the thing, though, with Sammy, with the Lions bring back. Like, I mean, Davis, I think your point stands. Some of these teams have been terrible, but Lions have shown some heart, I think, this season.
But they with no Hockenson and no Swift, the heart is very minimal.
Yeah, I wonder. But so I wonder what Hockenson, because he's a COVID guy, right? I think Hockenson.
Did people play Brock Wright last week? Was that so? Because yes, I remember that was the chat.
Yes.
No, you didn't.
I had multiple.
I did not.
Brock Wright. Get out of here.
He got five Brockinson.
All the slappies played Austin Hooper when you have the, you know, our generation.
He only played 56% of the snaps.
Hey, but he has an all day moment already. That's all you need to know.
I thought it was the punter. I thought the Lions only got the punter.
Nope, Brock Wright's in there, baby.
So is this a Shane Zylstra out if Hawkins is out again?
No,
since he ran more routes.
What I'm saying is that just don't play the Lions, guys.
How about Amon-Ra? I mean, he's back to back games with 12 targets.
Yeah, if you are doing one, but aren't you worried that you know what? There will be so many value options this week as more guys test positive that no cheap player will end up being chalk. So I'm going to rescind the point I was about to make.
All right. Yeah. So Sammy's
take is fine here.
Yeah.
Because the Lions almost scored a couple times last week
for like Josh Jacobs takes and stuff. And I'm just buddy, I know we're forward thinking show, but I kind of want to throw out there.
Buddy, buddy, I played Josh Jacobs last week. It did not go well. Let me tell you.
Well, that was different. That was a different show.
Should we build
any more QB takes, Sammy?
Yeah.
No, we need to build a lineup because I have
we need to build a lineup. Pete's got a hard out, dude.
Because I'm gonna steal the show here. I'm gonna take the first pick. I'm gonna take the stack. It's gonna be a QB nobody's talked about yet.
Tannehill?
Nope. So this is a guy that I played the first week of the season. I was super excited for him. Ended up it was his best game of the year. Ended up mediocre. He's been terrible all season long. We're going back to the well, though. Same exact matchup. Trevor Lawrence.
And what?
We're doing
buddy,
the Trevor.
What?
This is amazing. This is really amazing.
I've been slacking with the terrible take, so I'm getting out right away. Trevor Lawrence.
Oh my God. This is a complete sledgehammer. What do we do here?
Wow.
Trevor Lawrence.
So what's the free roll we're playing this in?
Well, it's funny you ask, Davis, because boy, do we have a special one this week. We have the 2021 FFWC Shadow Contest. And I know what you're thinking. What is this? Well, it's our official Shadow Contest. Let's non-qualifiers still compete with the top dogs of daily fantasy football. Play free during the live final with side-by-side leaderboards for your share of 20,000 in prizes. Guys, this is finally my chance to beat Whistles Go Woo.
There you go.
Let's see it. When you'll do so with a Trevor Lawrence Laquan Treadwell stack.
It'll certainly be unique.
I'm feeling
it, guys. Tuttle, throw us a bone. If we're playing Lawrence, we got to play LaVisca.
No.
Help us stack it.
No, you
got to go with the alpha. Treadwell's clearly the alpha.
I'm old enough to remember when Treadwell was like,
oh, I used to love
dynasty
him.
Guy.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Used to love him. But he's been decent enough. Like, give him a touchdown and he's good at 3,300.
Well, it's good we're saving all this money with the stack, Tuttle, because there's so many good high price.
Yeah, so many expensive plays to play this week.
Let me tell you, I did make some Davante Adams Cooper Cup lineups with this stack.
It's not hard.
Nope. It's just sad because it's like Tuttle doesn't even know LaVisca's in the air yards by low model this week.
Oh, wow. That used to be
I wish I would have known that.
That used to be such a recurring trend of our show. And it's just complete. As Bitcoin's price has gone up, the air yards by low model mentions on the show have gone down.
Very tough. Very tough.
To be fair, I haven't seen very many metal tweets this season. I don't know if the model's not doing very well or if Herm's
Yeah, Josh is too busy consulting with members of Congress to help them write their speeches about why we shouldn't invest in DeFi.
He doesn't have time for the first place metal tweets anymore.
Has Josh been in Elizabeth Warren's ear? Are they in cahoots?
They share a private jet, actually.
they trade insider trading tips.
Okay. Let's see here. I'll go DK Metcalf late. Put him in the flex.
I can dig it.
Put him in the flex. All right, Davis.
CD.
Sammy.
I mean, we have so much chip.
Running back is so bad this slate.
I'm gonna be kind of mad if Sammy doesn't do a Pittsburgh homer pick
here. I mean, we are doing Deontay Johnson, yes. That's right.
It was either
right. The true alpha. He's finally the sucky part is he's finally priced where he should be. The guy just has like 10 to 13 targets every single freaking week and stop dropping them. And it's just like, he's been like 6.6 all season. So hate to see him finally be priced appropriately, but even so, like, Tennessee can't guard anything. Like they couldn't catch Omicron. You know what I mean?
Can't guard Deontay.
That's right.
He did drop a touchdown last week.
Forward thinking show, sir.
Do you know what I just realized stinks for Steven? He released that great follow-up video last week after we kind of had the COVID news, and he picked an awful time to set precedent for having to release news alerts based on plays we put in our lineup. Because, Steven, you are, if anything changes and this lineup becomes slightly
EV, you're on the hook, bud.
You got to alert the people.
He did do a redaction video, though, which I was kind of, you know, slacking a little bit.
Once Williams was back in,
yeah,
put it, hey, was breaking back news, in. Put it back in the early take stands. Is it to me or is it back to Tuttle here?
I did the stack, so I'm gonna let you since I got two picks in.
I feel like we're playing like hot potato because no one wants to pick the running back, so I'll pick a tight end.
That's basically it, yes.
I'll do Dallas Goedert.
That was actually going to be my other pick.
I think we're going to get Minshew again this week.
Really?
Hurts was limping into practice this morning. The Philly beat writers were showing videos of him like hobbling into practice.
Boots on the ground. Well, Josh Allen was out at a show of like Hamilton or something yeah. without a boot. So I think we're good there.
Yeah.
I did the whole Devontae Smith thing, thinking Minshew would throw him the ball. It did not go well.
Tough scenes.
So tough. Didn't happen.
I saw a tweet yesterday that Cooper Kupp has more receiving yards than all Eagles wide receivers combined.
Dude, I was writing up the newsletter yesterday. I was looking through Cooper Kupp stats and like just some of the stuff is he's 6 points shy of Devontae Adams' total from last year for the entire season, and he led all wide receivers. He has more points than every quarterback.
All white receivers?
Every one of them, all of them, every color of the rainbow, Sammy. He's insane. He's absurd.
Davis, did you see some guy tagged us on Twitter the other day? He was like, yo, I'm trying to like bink this Thursday through Monday. Should I do Cooper and Kupp and Eno Benjamin or Nuke and
was it Selva?
Sony. And Sony. And I was like, oh, dude, you can't play the Kupp Eno Benjamin side. Benjamin won't play. And Kupp still outscored. Both Nuke. Yeah. Tough
All right. Life. I'll be the one brave enough to take a running back. I will take Javonte Williams.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Don't mind that.
Only way they get out of that game with a win is doing exactly what they did last week, which is 40 combined carries between Melvin and Javonte.
He's all so good.
We don't have a Rams player in this lineup, so Sony Michel, come on down.
Anytime you can play a chalk backup running back at $5,800,
he's
you
not gonna be chalk,
it.
Is he?
Hey, I'm putting Henderson in. I'm just telling the people right now, full transparency.
I'm gonna put Henderson in too. Jeez, I'm putting Henderson in too.
You guys are so
mean. I kind of want to go the Henderson side.
And then I'm gonna play.
This is exactly what happened with Josh Jacobs. This the other is exactly you guys 1v1 me. Davis lost the money. Davis, you still owe me money. And
I always try and pay you on PayPal, but I can't find you because your name is Ariel. Sammy's middle name is literally Ariel, and I can never find it on PayPal.
I do remember that from the Fantasy Insiders payment days. I remember that.
Yeah.
Davis, please don't dupe me in the FFWC shadow contest.
I'll swap the defense or something.
Defense
there is a Visa. There's a Visa.
Okay, there we go. Well. They own a punk, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You actually get a fraction of it if you win the contest.
I was gonna make a comment earlier that if Kalish really wanted to promote NFTs, he would run a free roll where he gave away a blue chip NFT as first place.
He needs to do it. A grand gesture. The natives are restless about the
DKNG stockholders who log on every day and complain about Kalish's tweets are some of my new favorite people on Twitter. It's like I've known a lot of miserable people on Twitter. You know, in my years in DFS, DFS players are really miserable people, but the DKNG complainers are the stone low.
What about like a Raven 52? Who's
he's kind of funny. Venn diagram he's of both. Yeah. He's funny at least, but the real complainers, I'm just like, I don't have the patience for it.
It's such a bizarre take to be like Jason Robinson is spending way too much bike riding on the weekends. I wish he would focus too much.
I wish he would make the number go up.
Yeah, Peter Jennings is doing too many shooting props. I'm bearish on Lucky Trader.
So I went to save this lineup, and then I got taken to my lineups page on DK. Let me tell you, they started to put the best ball lineups
pay
in.
Pay out best ball.
And it's not the best experience having all these random
I heard they matched.
Lineups.
Yeah.
They
oh, my God. I just got a late injury in my EPL lineup. I'm so tilted.
Oh no, who was it? I didn't even play this week. Tell me it would have been someone I was gonna be.
It would have been Ait Nouri, the corner kick taker for Wolves. You would have had him for sure.
Oh yeah, Ryan will know it. Yeah.
I'm so tilted.
Dude, those are pretty rough to take.
Probably COVID too. Probably was COVID positive after a kickoff.
I picked the wrong week to have a fake heart out, I can tell.
Now we'll speed things along here. Running back, Sammy. We'll start Sammy at running back.
Yes, please, Sammy, save us.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much to save here. I think at the end of the day, like, obviously a lot of this is going to come down to the injury news. So, you know, as a first look show, we're just going to look into that stuff and, you know, pray. But if Eli Mitchell's playing, I'm like on team Eli Mitchell. Like, they have shown,
he is the man.
He didn't practice again today. So I just saw.
Did he not really?
Knee or concussion protocol though.
Yeah.
I believe it was, I actually don't know. I was going to bullshit.
Let me tell you this though. If Eli Mitchell doesn't play, Deebo Samuel is unplayable in daily fantasy sports.
Correct.
Why? What's this take? I don't get it.
He gets targeted like one time a game.
Yeah.
He was also a little, his snaps are a little limited last week relative to what he had been at.
He's priced at 8,000 for 8 carries and 2 targets.
Yeah,
but Cooper Kupp and Diggs are going to be like 40% owned. I'm ready to Galbraith Deebo.
You son of a bitch, I'm back.
I'm fine with Deebo. I also throw out there
kind of a GPP play. I kind of like Donta Foreman. As a Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
Well, the Steelers are garbo. So
garbo, bro. I mean, you should see the Steelers message boards. It's just a bunch of people complaining that Devin Bush can't get off a block. It's a real, real like.
Do you still frequent a Steelers message board in the year of our Lord 2021?
Buddy, I watch Mike Tomlin press conferences as I go to sleep.
What?
Love it.
You are sick.
Yeah, I'm a sick pup, but I can tell you that Devin Bush does not get off blocks. It's a big issue. And
I mean, Foreman has looked good this whole time, and they were throwing him the ball a little bit last week, and it's clearly I mean, he only played 32% of the snaps, but on 23 snaps he got the ball 14 times. So
yeah, and they actually have a realistic chance of being ahead in this game because Pittsburgh is, in fact, so bad. So you can do like this little Foreman Deontay Johnson mini stack, and it could potentially get lit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And almost all of, I was reading Gretsch's stealing signals, and almost all of the McNichol stuff was just fourth quarter due to the blowout. Cause I was worried. I was like, is this a three way thing?
Were you worried about Jeremy McNichols?
I was worried about a three way time.
This is why Pete's doing good. Like, I spend my time like, you know, on Steelers message boards, and Pete's reading stealing signals instead. Like, this is a way better.
I read stealing signals and I get nothing from it, and I just lose anyway.
Wow. I mean, rigging endorsement for Gretch.
It's through no fault of Gretch. It's because I scan through it while I'm on the stair step or listening to a podcast playing online poker all at the same time. So it's not super conducive.
And then in goes Jamison Crowder and David Montgomery.
Nope. Jamison Crowder, are the Jets. Don't play any Jets. That's my advice.
Except Michael Carter. We need the Michael Carter breakdown.
No.
You got it, David?
He's designated
for return. What does he cost?
That's Carter, a 21-day window. They were throwing Ty Johnson the ball a whole lot last week.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is that the reason why Ty Johnson and Michael Carter were getting a little bit were valuable was because Mike White was checking the ball down on Mike White, I think his target share to running backs was 45% of his total attempts went to Ty Johnson, Michael Carter, and the other guy,
Tevin?
Whose name I can't remember right now.
Tevin was out.
Yeah.
Tevin was out. With
Austin Walter.
Whoever it was. Like literally whoever it was.
You can only go too deep on the Jets depth chart.
Austin Walter, by the way, you want a conspiracy theory? Austin Walter was active last week and then according to the team felt sick before the game and so couldn't play. But he was active last week. So conspiracy on Austin Walter. But my basic take is don't play any Jets, though. Don't play any Jets with Zach Wilson at quarterback because he's the worst quarterback I've ever seen. I mean, he is pathetic.
I think you can play Carter. Carter will get the carries at least. He'll get the early down work, so you're not as reliant on the catching.
But you need him to have like 5 catch and a touchdown upside, which I guess he has, I guess.
Yeah, I think he's an okay play at his price tag.
I don't think we're going to – I would be very surprised if come Sunday morning there are not – plentiful options under $5,000 to play on DraftKings.com NFL DFS.
Do you know who one of those is, Pete?
I do not.
David Johnson.
Oh God, yeah, no Rex Burkhead.
Yeah.
How much money is Tuttle going to win this week with Trevor Lawrence and David Johnson?
Sexy's Rexy's out. It's David Johnson and Royce Freeman time.
And yeah, they're going to give – dude, Royce Freeman's coming off the street. Jalen Samuels is gonna poke his head in. Just all like you're gonna level yourself here. You're gonna have a really good team, and you're gonna be sitting there looking at David Johnson. And you're gonna be like, dude, I freaking knew better.
Haven't they? So Jalen, they just don't want to play Jalen Samuels though, right? Because he's been available.
I mean, who like
they
literally?
Terrible. They gave 8 targets to freaking Fat Royce. Like they're
yeah.
Not
see, they and they they played like 5 tight ends or something, and I saw a quote saying they're fine doing it again this week, basically.
Dude, dropping Rex Burkhead for David Johnson right now in the Roto World Friends and Family League is one of my lowest moments. And David Johnson is already owned by Rich Rebar, so I can't even do it.
Don't you guys remember the what this backfield did to the Jaguars in week 1?
It was Mark Ingram like lost his mind, right?
41 carries, 160 yards, 2 touchdowns as a whole, and then I think David Johnson had a receiving touchdown too. But yeah, I like shitty players this week. Basically, is my thesis.
I guess. Do we think that Najee and Zeke and Joe Mixon are going to get pumped up in ownership just because they're the only guys who project for like above 15 at running back?
Zeke is not going to be owned. Like everyone knows, Zeke is dust and Pollard's going to come back.
In single entry and 3-max, I agree with you, but in contests where people are letting the computers do it, you're going to see him get up there.
I think Saquon's going to be pretty popular after he showed a pulse.
Did you see his touchdown, Pete?
Yeah, I celebrated it.
It was one of the saddest touchdowns I've ever seen. Like it's Saquon Barkley, this amazing player.
I'm sorry he didn't just like stiff arm someone into the ground.
No, I'm not saying the actual touchdown. I'm saying he catches it and he kind of just looks like he has this moment of like existential wandering. Like, why do I even do this? Like, is this even fun? Am I even enjoying this? Like,
what was that Ian Harditz tweet where he said he couldn't tell Booker and Saquon Barkley apart, and it was like the saddest thing he's ever seen. Because
it's brutal, dude. He looks terrible.
Yeah.
So my take last week on Saquon was that you're ecstatic if he gets you 20 points. Like you're just jumping for joy if he gets you 20 DK points. And he didn't even get that last week. And we know Pete was still jumping for joy at the touchdown.
I was crying tears of joy.
They are. Is Kadarius Toney ever going to come back?
He's on COVID too now.
Probably not, bro.
Oh my God, dude. Yeah. This season is so long.
It's so brutal. All right, do you guys have any Rashad Penny takes after he was the number one waiver pickup in seasonals?
My take is that he's going to bone everyone who spends all the fab to get their buy in fantasy this week, and then he's going to smash the next 2 weeks when the people who picked him up are eliminated.
He'll be fine if he doesn't get hurt.
Yeah.
So there was like 3 weeks ago, I think they wanted to go to him as the guy. He had the first carry of the game.
Immediately got hurt.
Yeah, because I was tilt entering the afternoon contest. I saw the beat reporters like, hey, they're gonna be a lot of Rashad Penny today. First carry of the game, 18 yards, hurts his hammy right away. He's very injury prone. I know people don't like to say that's a thing, but
no, he is. Penny's
always injured. It's a thing. It's a thing. And furthermore, I think it's Ernest Jones, the middle linebacker for for LA. He's been playing really well. Had an interception the other day.
Well, the thing I would caution on Penny is that both Peterson and Homer were inactive last week, and you can be like, oh, Peterson, Homer's just special teams. Let me tell you, if there's a coach out there who wants to have 5 running backs active on game day and give them all at least 2 touches, it's Pete Carroll. And Peterson will take the goal line work if he's active. Like if they elevate him off the practice squad and they're on the 2-yard line, like you just know Peterson's coming in there to get that carry. They're in
I do think it'll be pretty split. The work, like Penny will be RB1, I think, pretty clearly.
I mean, he got 57% of the snaps last week with only Collins and DJ Dallas active behind him. So I think he'll be like the same this week.
Yeah, but they never like throw the ball to their running backs, no matter who it is.
They only run like 47 plays a game.
It's a problem. It's a problem. But you know that the way to attack the Rams is on the ground, and you know Pete's gonna want to establish it. Like,
Is that even true?
We gotta go to wide receiver. We gotta go to wide receiver.
No. You gotta give me a James Robinson take first.
I was just gonna say. I literally was gonna say, are we gonna talk about James Robinson? And I was like, we don't even have time to talk about.
People are so itching to play that guy all the time. Like, imagine him in a good matchup. He's gonna be like 27% owned.
Yeah.
I touted him last week. Unfortunately, like he's still gonna get. Like, it was clear that he was gonna be the guy. The problem is you're drafting a guy that's on a really bad offense.
Did you guys like hear the full like Urban Meyer story about this? How like he refused to let him go back in until Trevor Lawrence went to him and said we need James Robinson on the field, and finally he said yes and like let him back on.
You love to see Urban Meyer.
Yeah.
Love the best for sure. Okay, yes, wide receiver Pete. Let's hear it.
Wide receiver, so everyone's gonna have loads of money to spend up because wide receiver is so much better. There's going to be a ton of value. So I think we're going to see sky high ownership on Cooper Kupp. Diggs is going to be pretty popular. People can afford Adams if they want. So I think we're going to see high ownership on those guys. I assume Lockett will be popular as kind of like the de facto bring back in your Ram stacks, which are going to be owned to Tom Van Jefferson. Could end up being like, I don't know, the second or third highest owned guy on the slate without Odell. Any other wide receiver takes on the high end I'm missing?
CD is the one who's got 30-point ceiling in there, who is going to be, I mean, right now we have CD for 6% ownership. That feels very low.
Love that. Love that. Like CD is this close to smashing if you know, Dus Prescott can just get him the ball a little bit. I mean, it's a smash.
That's really bad.
Yeah.
Isn't CD afraid of Sammy? You got to name a Giants cornerback for me.
There's no Giants cornerback to be afraid of.
I think they got rid of Artie Burns a couple years ago, so I'm at a loss.
The last good Giants cornerback I remember is Bradbury, and I think that was like a decade ago.
Not that long.
Janoris Jenkins comes off, but I know he's not on the team.
Yeah,
anymore.
I remember him too.
I need somebody to tell me that all my Joe Burrow teams that made it to the finals are not dead. So somebody tout Jamar Chase or T. Higgins here.
No. And we're getting there. We're getting there for Chase being the leverage play and T being the chalk, I think, with their prices converging.
Well, Sammy, here's where defense might actually matter, right?
Yeah. Denver has the DVP edge in this game. Also, I mean, Mile High Stadium, Week 15 in December, Joe Burrow with a he's not even practicing today because his finger's still hurt. I don't love it, Chief.
But who's Patrick Surtain not going to be on? Because I know.
Oh yeah, Patrick Surtain Jr. Don't have a take. I mean, he's just going to be all over the place. It's really who they deem to be the number one. You know, that's who Surtain is going to cover. But yeah, I actually the guys that I like, I like I said, I like the Arizona guys, Christian Kirk. Even AJ Green. I mean, AJ Green had 10 targets, and I really do think that it's a different story with Kyler in there. You know, all this time that DeAndre Hopkins missed was with Colt McCoy, basically. Their injuries ran concurrently. So I like those guys to step in and really do well. I'll play a ton of them. And I also like MVS. MVS really took a back seat in this last game to Alan Lazard, but I think the way that you attack Baltimore is with the deep ball. And I think people will love Davante Adams, and I think they've forgotten about MBS, but I think MBS gets loose for a deep one. That's my take.
So I've tried this deep ball take before. I guess the one player I tried to do it with within the last, it was 2 weeks ago.
Deshaun Jackson.
No, 2 weeks ago. Sammy's
Donovan
team.
Peoples Jones. No. Oh, Chase Claypool. James Washington. Claypool.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Did not work out. Claypool's been decent though.
Yeah.
Super decent. He's just, you know, behind an alpha. What can you do?
He just showboats too much after plays, and it's really capping.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. He's a hot dog. Yeah.
I think
he's
got to
be a solid leverage play though. I mean, Najee's going to be owned. Deontay's going to be owned. I like Claypool.
Save it for TikTok, Chase.
All right. What else do we got? Davis, talk to me about the Bills.
I mean, I think the way it's lining up, again, because of what we're talking about with there being salary to spend, you know, Diggs is going to be big chalk. And then I think Gabe Davis is going to be one of the obvious value plays of the week. I mean, 3,700 for him is that role he had, he is way underpriced. So I can't even believe it's saying this, but I mean, clearly we're lined up for Beasley being the guy that you want to play as the one-off, because he's got, you know, that the super consistent role that I don't think really changes that much with Sanders in or out. And I think even in a game where they win by a lot, he's still probably, he's got his same chance of getting there regardless. It's just a matter of, you know, if they're not having success running the ball, which I don't think they will. I mean, what they went the entire first half without a running back rushing attempt last week. So Beasley is the guy you want to play there, I think.
How is Beasley like one of only 82 players in the NFL who has not caught COVID?
Well, he's probably got it twice. Because I learned this today. If you have tested positive and then you test negative and you come out of it, you don't have to test for 90 days.
What? No way.
Unless, I mean, maybe that's not true. Maybe I got misinformation.
Yeah, that sounds bizarre.
Okay, well, now I got to look it up.
All right. Rondale Moore, Pete, can we play him or no?
God, I mean, it's so bad. I actually think that his role just, it's impossible to grow. Like, I feel like they could be down three wide receivers and they'd have like Antoine Wesley running.
Antoine Wesley. Yeah,
but here, but here's
Isabella.
The thing. If Connor and Edmonds are out.
And this has happened.
Yeah. And Hopkins.
That's
are
actually
out.
True. This is actually true.
Dude, he's going to get five rushing attempts and four targets. It'll be great.
How many guys would have to be out injured for Rondale Moore to play 80% of the snaps for the Arizona Cardinals?
He gets fewer targets than Tavon Austin. It is
literally a
crime.
A tough scene. It's really I just finally dropped him for the first time on a seasonal team this last week.
It's so bad. It was like we had that. I think I've had a take that was like Rondale Moore is going to be what we wanted LaVisca to be. And now the take is Rondale Moore is going to be LaVisca.
I do need the Visca takes this week, though. Can we?
I honestly prefer him to Treadwell.
The thing about LaVisca is that he is the same guy he's always been, but you just have to get him the ball with a little bit of space. And they have not done that at all. They just have not been willing to negotiate him as like a option route guy, which is what you kind of need him to do. They're just putting him on the outside.
A little bit more of a web back, I think.
No, they just need to not go out and put him on an island and say, go be Keyshawn Johnson, which is like, I can't even think of a guy who's less capable of doing that. It's
what do you mean? Dude, his ADOT's like 0.5 yards. They throw him the ball short.
No, but they do it like the Jaguars way of doing it, though. Like, he's not moving already when he gets the ball. It's terrible. Like, it's just bad.
Yeah. All right. FanDuel.com. Let's do it.
NFL DFS FanDuel. We need the report from Pete on what free roll we're not duping him in this week.
FanDuel doesn't have the free rolls. There are a bunch of nits over there.
So we're entering it. What, they have a contest for a nickel?
Yeah, they do. Let's see here. My bankroll, you know, we talked about how hot we were running on FanDuel. We haven't been quite as good the past couple of weeks, I will admit.
It's good to be transparent, you know.
You know, that is all we have, is our honesty and our trust.
We don't have any money left, so it's important to be transparent because that's all we can do.
I'm feeling flush though, so I am going to toss this in the 20K Sunday NFL Squib dollar single entry contest.
Okay, and you start us then.
Can we beat Whistles Go Woo in this contest?
I mean, you're gonna have to manually compare this lineup against his. It's not a shout out contest.
There's the Hopkins news, by the way. Expected to miss the rest of the season.
Yeah. He's okay. Pure dust. Pure dust.
So Hopkins is dust, which is going to seem, why would you pick this man? But let's pick Kyler Murray because we've just seen him run a shit ton. I'm not really worried about the offense even without Hopkins. Let's fire him up at 8,800.
I mean, Hopkins,
we can play Rondale with him on the half PPR site too.
Oh, I mean, once he's getting the goal line carries, it makes so much sense.
Ertz is probably
once he's getting goal line carries and he's the third down back and the slot wide receiver, his role is going to be amazing.
Sammy.
Are we actually playing Rondale?
Yeah, who are we stacking Pete?
My vote would be Ertz if we're stacking.
I'm fine with Ertz too.
I'm good with Ertz.
I'll use that as my pick. I'll pick Ertz.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
All right, Sammy.
I mean, I hate to be.
I'm giving you the. I'm bringing you the bring back here.
No, I'll leave the bring back for you guys. I have to have Donta Foreman in this lineup.
Wow.
Yeah. Have to have him. My DFS war room must have is Donta Foreman.
Yeah, this is a bad week, you guys. This isn't good.
I do prefer him on FanDuel, just let the record show.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with that. Yeah.
You got to worry about McNichols on DraftKings.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to take Jalen Waddle, 7,100. He'll be a little bit more popular on DraftKings, so I like him a little bit more on FanDuel, where the people don't know.
By the way, we didn't mention Devontae Parker, I don't think, on DK. He's still
no, cheap. We should, yeah.
No, we probably should have.
Very cheap. All right, Pete, back to you.
All right, we didn't put him in our DraftKings lineup. Let's go ahead and just get some Cooper Kupp exposure since he'll body bag us if we don't.
Cooper Kupp. I'm going Najee.
I like him better on DraftKings because it's full PPR, but
I'm so glad that yeah. I just didn't that I was not stubborn about this Cooper Kupp thing and like argued that it was like, you know, impossible efficiency that he'd like. I'm just so thankful that that did not happen to me this year.
I feel like if Davis grew his beard out a bit, you could be kind of a Cooper Kupp ringer.
No, the guy that I look like is Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow and in his street clothes. And if he hasn't shaved in a couple days, like he really looks like me. It's kind of startling.
Get Davis a cigar, post it on Twitter.
Well, I love a good cigar. All right.
I picked Najee. I just saw Najee. His price there. He's going to be 60% owned, but whatever.
Wow. We got the dueling running backs narrative.
Yeah. You gotta love that. Love that correlation there.
What's the total in that game? Like 37.5? I haven't even looked. it's the Army Navy of the NFL. Mike Vrabel versus
41.5, baby. All right, so then we're Sammy.
Let's see. I will leave an expensive spot for somebody, and I will take MVS.
I just feel like these can't possibly be good takes.
No, I like MVS better on FanDuel.
I like
that. Well, I mean, that actually does make sense. That's actually completely legitimate.
Yeah.
I'm signing off on this MVS take, by the way. I'm not going to sign off on Foreman, but I'll sign off on the MVS take.
Thanks, Tuttle.
Oh, we should have talked about what happens if Huntley starts a quarterback. I mean, he kind of balled out.
He looked last good. Week. Yeah. And he got the ball to Bateman and Andrews.
Yeah.
So we only have what defense do we want to go?
How many air yards did Hollywood have last week, though? Because Huntley missed him on a couple of deep ones. Is he in the buy low model by chance?
Marquise Brown actually is.
Yeah, yeah.
Jags defense is the cheap punt.
Giants? Okay.
Jags.
Jags.
I feel like getting the defense right between the Jaguars and the Texans this week might actually be one of the keys to generational wealth, because I feel pretty confident that one of those teams will throw a pick six, but I'm not quite sure which one.
All right, so Davis,
we got why not both? Flex. Dot GIF.
We have 6,100.
Yep.
Gallup, 5,900. Easy peasy.
Whew. This is definitely a GPP cash lineup right here.
This is a print.
I love it. You go super contrarian at all the skill positions and eat the chalk at defense. This is how you win.
That is the key. That is basically the key to generational wealth.
And I was the one that picked that. All right.
So don't dupe Pete.
Yeah, me and the squib. Yeah, just put in Texans and then you can have the generational wealth.
All right, we got 3 minutes to talk about tight end. Who wants to start?
Pete's got a heart out.
I do.
Yeah, I'm thinking Chris Myarik against the Dallas Cowboys this week. leads all Giants tight ends and touchdowns.
I mean, isn't Higbee like the biggest trap ever here? Because he's going to project slightly better, but it's still his role's just like not going to change at all.
Not going to change. It'll be Bennett Skoronek who is going to end up getting like 8 targets if Odell doesn't play.
Yeah. Are people going to have enough money on this slate to where everyone's just going to get up to Kittle and Andrews?
I don't think so. I think you're much more likely to see the mid-tier guys get pounded, you know, Freiermuth, Higbee, Ricky Goddard. Seals Jones, Goddard. Freiermuth
is mega cheap on FanDuel, bro. Like,
yeah, he's expensive on DraftKings.
Yeah, but he's a really good FanDuel play. Also, like, he doesn't get that many targets. He's like mostly a red zone guy. So
no, he's only got like a 12% target share even with Ebron hurt.
Yeah, but on FanDuel.
On FanDuel.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's playing Kittle on DraftKings, right?
I will.
He's so
I like getting 35. I like getting 35 points every single week. It's pretty good.
I mean, especially if Mitchell's out, right? They'll put Debo back there. Then the de facto number one is Kittle again. Like, easy game.
He's such an alpha.
But you have to watch out because Deion Jones, the coverage middle linebacker for the Falcons.
Do you have like a list of these names? Like, what is the deal here?
This is a really... Their linebacker tandem actually claws it really good.
This is a really impressive performance by you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So Ricky Seals-Jones only played 48% of the snaps last week for the Washington football team. And I think that was just because he was returning from injury. I mean, I don't think they love John Bates.
I don't know.
Also, they're one of the teams that has been crushed by COVID. They've got like 8 guys on the COVID list and probably more of them are coming. So if, but Tuttle, if Bates and RSJ are both active again, do you think more snaps for RSJ or do you think they're actually in a timeshare?
I actually tried to think about this because I did fall for the Ricky Seals-Jones on FanDuel last week because he's still only 4,500 this week. If you think RSJ sees an increased share or workload, 4,500 is cheap for what we have seen him do in that offense. But I kind of do think like it makes sense to give Bates some run. Like,
I mean,
he's not
a rookie. Yeah.
Right. Like, why not though? Like the. But that is the matchup. So for the DVP people out there, right? Philadelphia is terrible against tight ends. But yeah, Seals would be the guy I want to play. But
Alex Singleton has really been taking care of, taking advantage of in coverage.
This is performance art. This is so good.
I'm here. Yeah. I mean, Dan Arnold's price continues not to go up. And
you mean the Irish assassin?
That's right. O'Shea? The Irish assassin. He's a natural pairing with Trevor Lawrence. I mean,
his role was
we need to make it clear that we're talking about O'Shaughnessy here.
Sorry, O'Shaughnessy. My bad.
He was being glib. Sammy was being glib.
Totally.
I mean, Tuttle, if you're in on the Jags this week, you got to be into the Irish assassin.
No, I'm cool with O'Shaughnessy for sure.
6 targets back to back games. Like, I don't know.
Double stack.
I might play him in cash.
Laquan and O'Shaughnessy.
Dude, he could have scored a touchdown last week.
Buddy, we were this close to being rich, and instead we walked away.
He was only 8. You know, he was only 8% owned in cash last week, Tuttle.
Unbelievable. People played
freaking Hooper instead.
Man, we were 145-yard touchdown from O'Shaughnessy away from really printing.
All right. Do we want to end the show on O'Shaughnessy, Pete? Do you have anything left
Pete,
to say?
Give us
I haven't heard from you in a while.
I mean, the only other tight end I'll mention. Gerald Everett, if in that game, if he's the guy that kind of flies under the radar, if everyone's doing their Rams onslaughts with Lockett or something, I think Everett looks nice.
I like it. We'll end the show there because I don't think we have. Sammy, did you have something else you wanted to say?
Just a stupid take here at the end. I think that if you're playing Tua in tournaments, people are just naturally going to go to the receivers because Waddle's good and what's his butt is cheap. But I like their tight end. I like Gesicki.
Gesicki,
good take.
Okay, so Gesicki is Sammy's take. Let's get a take from everybody before we leave. Davis,
play Kittle again. Get your 35 DK points and let the nerds play these other losers.
Okay, right, and I was gonna say don't let Davis's FUD get you off of Debo Samuel. He's the one that cucks George Kittle this week.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna say
I could see your one of Kittle or Debo, I feel like it's 30 though against the Falcons.
Do you want to just meet in the middle and double stack them in tournaments?
Yeah.
at their current price tags.
Seems like a
sharp play. And my final take for the show is Trevor Lawrence, baby. He's gonna win some GPPs this week. Stack him with Laquan, stack him with O'Shaughnessy. If you want to be a beta, you can stack him with LaVisca, and that's that. That's going to do it for the Week 15 edition of the Swolecast. Soccer Dave, I hope you're enjoying your blizzard while you watch this, and we'll see you next week. Maybe Soccer Dave will be back.